Well, as usual, I spent time praying and seeking God and about what does he want me to do? Where does he want our message, or where does he want to take our church community? I'm really thankful that Bruce stepped in Cheryl and the boys to be able to be up at camp. It was just a really blessed time to be able to get to know people in a relaxed environment. We had did some worship and just shared some favourite scriptures underneath the peppercorn tree, or willow, whichever it was. I think it was peppercorn, wasn't it? Did I get it right? Yeah, first time around. It was just really lovely just to get that opportunity just to relax and chill and to enjoy nature. And I think the kids had a great time swimming in the river, in the pool, doing what they did. It was really great to see everyone having a fantastic time. And your message around the eagles, Bruce, I've got there one of my first slides, is that passage of scripture, wrong phone. But out of Isaiah chapter 40, this is one of Aaron's favourite scriptures. He's got it on plaques, he's got eagles in his room. It's one of his favourite scriptures. But even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will stumble, will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And the reality of you speaking on that eagles and that flying and those things, when an eagle gets into the updrafts, it's just effortlessly. And that's how we're meant to operate as Christians, actually, when we get into the updrafts of God's Spirit and we're in line and doing things His way, we get taken and we soar to places that we could never think, ask, or imagine. Over the last few weeks, I've been spending time just going through all the prophetic words and words that have been spoken over this community over the last, and I've had got words that go back probably about 20 or so years ago. As I've read through them and I've looked at the things that God has declared that our community would be known for, I've noticed some quite considerable themes. One, He wants this place to be a part of revival in this nation. I've got absolutely no doubt. Now, it's not just Mombok Christian Fellowship specific. God wants revival to be across our whole nation. He would love every church community to be a part of those things. So it's in some ways quite generic and not surprising that God would want that. But there's been a constant theme that He wants to use the ministry of this place to touch and transform lives. To see people come to know the love and the grace and the wonder of who God is. The other thing that really struck me is the words quite regularly have been, this is not about a religious belief or practice, but a genuine and authentic encounter with Jesus. There would be healings and there would be transformation of the inward world and all of those things, all part of it. The other thing that came through really regularly through these words was prepare. Nearly every word had some word that goes, there's some preparation, there's some groundwork to be done. And my sense is we're coming to the end of that. But we're not finished yet. And I sense that as I prepared for this week, I had a number of different scriptures that I was going to speak on, but then I landed in Hebrews chapter 12. And I felt like God said, ready, set, go. Hebrews 12 starts out with an encouragement, and I'm going to get to there in a moment, but the thing that struck me, and it was really interesting, I was already on this passage of scripture, and then Michelle sent me a message. For those of you wondering where Michelle is, she's just had a week away with sort of a spiritual mum figure this week, and she's had a really refreshing time there. But the end of Hebrews 12 has a couple of amazing verses that I'd never really sat in and actually let them sort of go deep. I sort of read over them, and you sort of, you know, sometimes you read scripture and you skip over certain verses, and the next time you read, you go, my goodness, I didn't even know that was there. It was one of those moments. And then Shell sent me a message based on these two scriptures that she'd watched with her spiritual mum. I'm going, oh, okay, God, you get me attention. And it is starting in verse 27. So we're going to go to the end of chapter 12 before we go back to the first verses of chapter 12, if that makes sense. Verse 27 says, This means that all creation will be shaken and removed so that only the unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshipping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. That on its own, you could think about God being the one sitting there, the big fist going, I'm going to get them. But no, he wants to actually burn up anything that's not of him so that over his love, pure joy, pure, those things actually come to the fore. But our world's been shaken. Has been for quite a while. The last 2 years, as I've mentioned very often, it's shaken our world. It's shaken the church. It's shaken communities. You watch the political scene at the moment. Political leaders are doing everything just to get a vote. They're not doing it for the best of the people. All they want to do is actually line their own back pockets to make sure they've got a position of power or influence. It's kind of scary thinking another lump of big lump sum of money being landing in all their bank accounts sometime in the next in May sometime that is going to put our country in more and more debt. But just to get a vote. There is no stability, I don't think, in any world system, whether it be US, whether it be any of them. There's a shaking going on that is transforming our whole world. The church is being shaken. What do we stand for? What are we about? I don't believe our church should be a big performance that keeps people coming in. Often said a leader, I can't remember who actually said it to me, it's probably been said by many leaders, but if you've got a performance culture in your church, you have to perform well to get people to come in the door, and then you have to keep on upping the performance to be able to keep them there. When actually what's meant to actually keep us together is the extraordinarily abundant love of Christ. There is no other pure form of love that you could ever encounter than him. And this scripture says there is a kingdom that's unshakable. I don't know about you, but this last few years have really shaken me. Made me go, where do I stand? Where is my identity? Where is my strength? What are the things that I hold dear? And ultimately it comes back to that I am loved by Father God and I love people. You want to know why I accepted the role to come back into ministry? It's that. He loves me. And I'm also called to love people. But I have to be founded on his love. Because if I'm reliant on Mel or Sondi or anyone else to actually love me to be okay, I'm going to make sure that my messages suit you rather than actually be honouring him. And that's not a solid ground. I also know that part of the shaking is that he wants us to have solid foundations that we're hanging on to. Because if we go back to verse 1 of this passage in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, I want to pause there for just one sec before I get into the next bit. This community has had significant loss over the last 3 or 4 years from David's passing. And from what I understand, there's about 10 other people who have passed away over the last 2 years. You know, they're cheering you on. I don't think David is in heaven going, you better hang on to do it the way that I want it to be done. Haven't talked to Deb, but I don't think that'd be his style. But neither would it be anyone else that is there. They're cheering us on because they are now experiencing the kingdom. And they want you and I to experience the same thing. But they also want every single seat in here filled because you've experienced it and we've passed it on to somebody else. They want us to run this race, get ready. But like a marathon runner or any sort of sportsman, we have to choose what we've got to give up so that we can actually grab hold of the prize that we are doing. Now, my marathon runner can't be out eating Maccas and gorging himself on the biggest, fattest foods, fried foods that he could do. He actually has to sacrifice and make sure his diet is super healthy and that he's feeding his body the right thing to be able to fulfill the dream of being able to fulfill a marathon. And I believe we're in this preparation season. I've had a number of words that have come through to me over these last couple of weeks that it's time to take our rubbish, place it outside. We've just had a hard rubbish dump. Take it out there, leave it out there, and deal with it. Don't pick it back up again. Because I don't know about you, sometimes you go, yeah, I forgive that person, and I take them with me again. Because I'm not quite fully let it go. And I feel like there's a bit of that for our community, for each of us. I was tested again this week with some family stuff. Not in my actual, like between Shell and I and the boys, but my extended family. And I'll tell you what, I had a good email lined up. It was all the year I was ready to go. And I went, actually no. Because all I'm actually gonna do is hurt myself, and I'm gonna hurt them. Going to create a bigger mess. God, can you have them, please? Take them. So it says in that, as we go through that passage in there, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Everything. We have to know our yes, and we actually have to know what to say no to so that we empower our yes. Does that make sense? Can I have the slide that's just got the what stars and dots do you need removed? Please, Nathan. Fantastic. I don't know whether you've ever seen this book. Who's seen that book? It's not a kid's book. Well, it is, but it's not. It's profound. If you need to have a look at it, I haven't got time to go through it. It's called You Are Special. It's the story of Wemics, little wooden people carved by the maker Eli. But the Wemics go around and they've got their dots and their stars. And Sondi, can I get you to come up? I've already given her a warning that I'm going to do this. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You came to, I don't, it doesn't matter. You came to see me and therefore you're the convenient one to ask. But the story of this book is that the little wooden people go through putting dots on people that don't necessarily measure up to the standard and stars when they measure up to the standard. So if you could jump over tall boxes and sticks and all those things, you got a star. If you fell over and your paint was a bit chipped or faded or whatever, you got a dot. And that's what they spent their life doing, putting labels and stickers on people. Until Punchinello, the main character in the story, encounters Lucia. And Lucia doesn't have any dots and doesn't have any stars. Wasn't because people didn't try put them on. They just fell off. And her key was that she spent all her time with Eli, the woodcarver who made her. And he said she was enough. But isn't that like our world? We put the spots and the dots and the stars on people. If you perform well, you get a star. If you don't do what I want, you get a dot. We label people. And we label with all sorts of things. What are some of the labels? Just yell out, I need your input in here. What are some of the labels, good and bad, that we use for people?
Lazy.
Pardon?
Lazy.
Lazy. Come on, keep coming. Awesome. It's a good word for Sondi. I think that one needs to go there. Come on, I need some acting. No, I don't want to be the one bringing up all the words. Tell me.
Creative.
Creative. Yep. What else do we have?
Hopeless.
Hopeless. Come on.
Blind.
Pardon?
Can't see.
Blind.
Blind.
Righto. Good, love it. Come on, we need to laugh. We need to have some humour. This has got to be fun too. Come on.
Dysfunctional.
Don't check my spelling, all right?
Funny.
Funny.
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy.
Beautiful.
Yeah. My pen's running out, so I'm not going to be able to write all the names, but we've got, you know, like I say, beautiful. Some cases might be ugly. Lovable.
Critical.
Critical.
Forgiving.
Forgiving. Is that one word?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Loser.
Worthy.
Yeah.
Loser.
Oh, loser. I thought you said pleaser.
People pleaser. Yeah, all of those things. I think you're getting the picture. Mum, dad, uncle, auntie.
Yeah, black, white.
Yeah, pastor, artist. Pardon? Dyslexic. Cheeky.
Cheeky, yeah.
Yeah. All the names, all the things. This week I was sharing with a mentor of mine and he said they'd just done a weekend called Spirit something. There you go. It's basically about training people to listen to their own, to listen to God on behalf of what are the things that are causing the dysfunction deep within people's lives. This particular guy had an addiction that he went through 12-step programs every week. He would get on this program. He said, my name is, and this is my addiction. Every week, naming it, re-putting the label back on himself. He almost lost his marriage. He almost lost everything. He couldn't get to the root cause of why he couldn't defeat the behaviour. And in this weekend, God showed him that when he was born, his mum and dad were not in unity that they wanted another child. His mum had actually tricked dad into the thing and getting pregnant and a child was born. And the enemy put on a label, you are unworthy and unlovable in the womb.
And unwanted.
And unwanted. and the addiction, the shame, the guilt, gone. A lifetime of struggle because Jesus entered that situation. And it sounds a bit weird, but he had a vision of Jesus being there as he was born and grabbing him and wrapping his arms around him and loving him. And just like Lucia in the book, thanks, Sonia.
Labelless.
In that moment, what happens is that you just get to be a child of the King. And because you're a child of the King, you then express the kingdom. And it will come out in different ways. So what does it mean, brothers and sisters, to when it says there in that passage of Scripture, throw off everything. Throw off anything. I may have the title of pastor, but I'm just a son of the living God. If my identity is in being up here and speaking, I should not be your pastor. And if ever it starts to come up, I need to get to the counselling office to find out why. Because I'm actually will be leading you badly. Because I'll be doing it from the wrong place. We need to throw off all of those things so that we can actually just be founded on the unshakable kingdom of God. As I've said previous weeks, God isn't scared by your sin, your brokenness and the things that are. That's all just the symptoms. Like if I cut myself, I have blood come out of the wound. The things that you struggle with, I don't know what it is. Could be worthlessness. Am I good enough? Could be addictions to alcohol, drugs. All to God is just, let me get to the core. Some of you might be going, yeah, but you don't know my story. You don't know the things that have happened in my past. You're right, I don't. But God does. And we live in a fallen world where sin entered the world. And because of sin, we have sickness, we have disease, we have broken relationships. And if anything over the last 2 years has caused that, my goodness, it's caused more broken relationships than ever before. And God says, I just see you. I want to heal your heart. I want you to know that you are loved. I want you to know that you are valued. You don't have to do anything but come to Him. So for us to be able to run the race that's before us, we need to be able to live lightly. This passage goes on and talks about discipline is good for us. No, it's like it. Talk to any parent, we don't particularly like disciplining our children. Talk to our children, they don't particularly like being disciplined. But if you don't, we have big issues. If people are just left to their own device to do life, they go off and they do stuff without any concern of how it affects another person. So discipline is healthy. I need it, you need it. It's actually a part of a loving father. The scripture then goes through, and I'd really encourage you to spend time in Hebrews 12 this week, because I haven't, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through every single verse. But the things that really stuck out to me: work at living at peace with one another, work at living a holy life, look after each other so that none of you fails and receive the grace of God. We need each other. We can't do this on our own. We can't We can't go and sit out on our mountain and just sit there and meditate and levitate and feel holy. Doesn't work. Because on our own, we get very easily deceived. Very easy. Because you know what? People can be sometimes really downright painful and hard. None of you would have people like that in your life. Got me, pastor, sorry. But we've had a lie. At the moment, we've got people dividing over all sorts of things. I was talking with my son's driving instructor the other day. Her sister lives 70 metres down the road because she's chosen not to be vaccinated, and her sister is. She's not allowed in her sister's home. That's tragic. Heartbreaking. And yet it's happening over and over and over again. And not just because of the vaccination thing, a whole heap of other things. So, as a church, let's learn really to love one another. Cheer one another on. Be the strength for the person next to you. The importance of community. Let's get rid of our offence. I don't think it would be a big guess to actually go in a group this size, in a church this size, that there might be someone that has something against their brother or sister because of some hurt or pain. I've been around people long enough to know. I know my own heart. You know, God says in His Word, make sure you keep a clean heart towards the people. Deal with it. Forgive. Ask Him what to do with it. God might tell you, you need to go and apologise to someone today. Because what if that offence that you're carrying is actually blocking you from being able to carry the love of Christ? A little bit of apology, a little bit of humble behaviour to carry more of God, I think it's worth it. I don't know, I'm not trying to judge you, I'm just saying, I think I've been around people long enough to know that there's probably some stuff. And it might need to be done so that we can take it out there, leave it on the curb, never be picked up again. Might be people outside of you. Could be your husband or wife, I don't know. Like I said to you a couple of weeks ago, I had to go home and I had to sort out my own mess. I'd made a mess at home. I had to sort it out. That's part of it. Of living well, loving one another well. So brothers and sisters, can I encourage you to actually to do that? So that the prophecies and the things that have been spoken out of here, this place, the prayers that have been prayed for years and years and years in this place can be fulfilled. We get rid of the stuff, we get to see the kingdom. Let the shakeable stuff fall off, so the unshakeable things of His kingdom will never, ever decay. As I say, I don't know everyone in this place today. One of the things that stops people from encountering the love of God is God can't be that good. How can God love me? Maybe one of the big offences that you're carrying and the big thing is that you've got to let that wall down and go, I'm going to open my heart to receive God's love. I want to invite anyone this morning that has never actually accepted Christ as Saviour to experience His love today. You are loved. The love of Christ was so extravagant, we did it in communion, that He bore your price. And I know this wine could very much be offensive to some of you,
but he wants to love the hell out of you. Literally. So you can't have just a heaven. I know there's a lot of people saying, the heaven and hell thing isn't real. Well, you can't have good without evil. It doesn't work. There is a hell. It wasn't designed for you and me. It was actually designed for the demons. That's where we were meant to go there. Except we've got an enemy of our soul that wants to take as many people there as possible. And God wants you to encounter love. So you don't have to worry about that. So you're going to have an eternity where there is no pain, there is no suffering, there is no separation from the love of Christ. And he wants you to experience that today. All of you. So if there is anyone in this place that says, hey, Jace, I want to know more about this love, I'd like to accept Christ, please don't leave without doing that today. I'd love to pray with you. As many other people here would love to do that too. I know it's one of Brendan's greatest things he carries is he wants people to encounter Jesus. But let's run the race. Hello, beautiful. How you going, Quinny? Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the beauty is, Scripture says to come to God like a child. Just come. Let him love you. I love this little girl. She's beautiful. And God says that about you too. He doesn't want you to walk around with labels. He doesn't want you to do with any of those things. He wants you just to know that you're secure and that your past is your past and that he wants his love to actually transform your life from the inside. So let's join with those that are cheering us on. Cheering us on from heaven today saying, come on, the people of Mombolt need to know that they're loved. Let's experience the love. Deal with what we need to deal with. So that we can experience the abundant life that God's got for us. Is it going to be perfect? Is it all going to be easy? No. It doesn't happen that way. But God loves you. And his kingdom is unshakable. Everything else in the world will struggle, we'll find really hard. But his kingdom will never fail. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. Father, thank you for your goodness, your love. And I pray, Father, for all of us to let go of the labels, let go of the things, let go of the stuff that is hindering us from being able to run the race with perseverance. And help us, Father, to run the race freely and lightly, secured to a kingdom that is unshakable. We have Pan, can I just have a little bit of music there? Just something in behind. There's a couple of things on my heart just to finish off our service. One is, if you are going, yeah, I'd like to know more about this love of Jesus, then I'd love to chat with you. Then please come and see me. And the other thing I'd like to do is actually just pray for people for healing. If there is anyone that just needs healing today in their body that just needs a touch from God on that front. Or maybe the third thing is, maybe you just need a prayer of courage to face that thing that you need to set right with that brother or sister, that husband or wife, that person you know that you're carrying an offence to. Maybe you just need a prayer of courage. Quinny, mum's after you. We started our prayer time today with that song, Lion of Judah, His Roaring. And I think we're going to see some supernatural healing of heart, body, and spirit in this place. So God, have your way. So if you need prayer this morning, then I'd invite you to come and just have a chat after the service. But let's just take 60 seconds. Ask God two questions. Is there any labels that you want to remove? Is there anyone that I need to forgive or seek forgiveness from?